When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Do you get excited when you hear the Manny Fry Show open? I do, and I was talking to some people at the Paul Nicolosi fundraiser from Madison County Board last night, and you also told me that you really like the Manny Fry Show. You told me you like the Annie Fry Show a lot, too, but you were talking to me, so I think that you just said the Manny Fry Show because I was in the room and Annie wasn't there. I'm not sure, but we really enjoy doing the Manny Fry Show. This is the second hour, of course, and the poll today is about Ethan, whose camera is still on but is not in the room. He's walked out. Do you want Ethan to host the 2 o'clock hour? The reason that we're asking you this question is because about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was brought up that Ethan should just host a show sometime. And he said he would be scared to death to do that. And we said we should do it. We should do that then.
Yeah.
But you have to tell us whether or not we should.
Help him get over his fears.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the results of the poll, but I have a feeling it's going to be a blowout and he's going to have to do the 2 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. It's 1:05 right now. And it is time for What Did I Miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
All right, so I have a couple clips from the past week here for you guys to listen to. I say you guys on the air, and Ryan here in the studio. Ryan, did you get to listen to any of the Hunter Biden interview?
Some of it.
Some of it. So I have a couple clips here, and these are the ones where he wasn't dropping F-bombs consistently.
Yeah, it'd be tough on you.
Yeah, and some of these are like not really pertaining to much of anything, but still made me laugh.
Okay.
So this first one here, well, I'll just let him talk for himself.
You act any differently?
No.
Is it safer than alcohol? Probably. People think of crack as being dirty. It's the exact opposite. When you make crack, what you're doing is you're burning off all the impurities so that it can bind with the sodium bicarbonate, which makes it smokable. That's all.
So,
was the interview asking about crack?
I have no idea. I've only seen his answer or him just talking about it. I mean, it felt like whenever I would watch the interview, he would just go.
Yeah, that's what I saw too, is because I've watched in clips like most people do now. I watched a lot of clips of this, but I don't know. It's like watching a movie in reverse order and you don't really know, did I watch the whole movie or what's the plot here?
What was
Pulp
Fiction. I don't know.
I saw him ripping Democrats in
he went out
hating
on them.
George Clooney. Man, did he hate George Clooney.
Yeah. Well, he hates George Clooney because of what George Clooney said about his dad. He did not like that. He didn't want that. But that clip was him saying that crack is actually better than alcohol.
Is that the point?
Yeah.
How does that come up?
He's like, it's cleaner. It's better. Because when you think Hunter Biden, what's the next thing you think?
Him in his underwear with sunglasses
smoking
on.
Smoking a crack pipe.
Yeah, pretty
yeah.
much.
So here's another clip from him from that same interview. And this time he gets into about his
My
laptop.
My question to anybody that is keeping an open mind is, what is it that you think the laptop proves? Or what you call the laptop? So everybody has a laptop. So when they say Hunter Biden's laptop, what is it that they're talking about? Do you know?
Well, I know that you, your entire iCloud was connected to it. All of your personal text messages, private photos, all that kind of stuff.
Like everybody's laptop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you left it with a repair shop owner, particularly I think the New York Post was involved in the spearheading of this mass dissemination of your private materials. From what it seemed like, it was a lot of private text between you and your friends, family, your entire sort of private life was on there.
Yeah. And again, so everybody has a laptop. everybody has a cloud.
I'm assuming not.
No. Not everybody has a laptop. Everybody has a digital life. Almost everybody has a digital life. Everybody has a digital life, pretty much. And that includes voicemails and pictures and text messages and emails and location data and, you know, everything. Everybody. You do. Everybody that is here right now. By whatever means, they got my digital footprint going back decades.
So he kind of dismisses the whole laptop story because he's like, all they have is my digital footprint. And then the interviewer, I think, misses the point, too. They like to sit on this laptop story. And this is what you hear from people on the left. What does it matter what Hunter Biden did? What reflection does that have on Joe Biden? The picture of Hunter Biden in his underwear smoking a crack pipe, all the nasty, gross stuff, all the stuff that he got up to that was on that laptop was not the point of the laptop. That's not what's condemning about the laptop. What is condemning is the text messages and the emails with his family members about the business dealings that he had with Joe Biden, what his job was. And essentially, Hunter Biden's job for Joe Biden was to travel around the world picking up gigantic sacks of cash for the Biden Biden family. That's all he did. He went there, he picked up the sacks of cash, and he came home. And then Joe Biden then would adjust his policy to benefit whoever paid them the most money.
His defense in that clip wasn't even that good.
No.
It was just... Look, everybody has a laptop. What are you going to condemn me for having a laptop? You probably have a laptop. I mean, does that make you guilty?
The dude got high and left it at a repair shop.
Yeah, he won't admit that, but that was true. I haven't heard this clip.
What's kind of a mess? What's kind of interesting about this though is he's saying, "What was that laptop? It was my digital footprint." What is he saying there? It's true.
He's saying it's his.
It's his. It's true. All of it's true.
And a lot of what we found through the information in that laptop is that he was taking foreign bribes. They might have been sort of hidden and made semi-legal because mm-hmm. he was on the board of something.
Right.
Like, oh, well, that's just your salary for never coming in. But he was accepting lots of foreign money and then funneling that money to the big guy.
Yeah, the big guy.
I mean, that's what we found. Yeah. And all these crazy companies, you know, just moving money through all these companies constantly, so it's untraceable, going to the president of the United States. That's a real easy thing if you're sitting with Hunter Biden to press him on.
Yes.
Who's this interviewer? He didn't do anything.
I don't know. I just know the YouTube channel's called Channel 5.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it's hard to say, oh, this interviewer is crappy. Because he probably was crappy on purpose, and that's why Hunter agreed to do mm-hmm. it with him.
Yeah, I get to say
ask me really light questions that I can say that, look, everybody has a laptop. Are we condemning laptop ownership now? Because that's what it sounds like to me, and you're probably a hypocrite for having a laptop yourself. I think that everybody needs to take a step back and look in the mirror about their own laptops.
The real friends were the laptops that we made along the way.
Right.
So anyway, there's that one. And then Jeff Daniels popped in and he was waxing poetically about Kamala Harris.
I still think about Kamala and how I think she would have been a good choice. I don't care what they say, because she would have done what Lincoln did. Liz Cheney would have been Secretary of State.
Team of rivals.
Doris Kearns Goodwin wrote the book about it. That's what Lincoln did. Surrounded himself with the people who would disagree with him, not the people who would, you know, take a knee and go, yeah, more tariffs, sir, more. It's the madness of King George. And just the deterioration of the Republican Party. I mean, I'm just an actor. What do I know? But when Mitch started stacking the courts 25 years ago, I said it on your show once. They can see it coming. The new America that is diverse and treats everyone with equality and respect and dignity, you know, kind of like Jesus did. We're ready for that. And Mitch and company could see it coming. They were going to be the minority. So they just started, and then here we are. And now you got it.
Remember when he had diarrhea?
No.
And he was kicking his feet in the air in that ski resort, just screaming. That's what I think of when I think of Jeff Daniels.
The most important line in that whole sound clip is theirs. I'm just an actor. What do I know? He was saying it sarcastically, but he was more accurate than he. Remember when Abraham Lincoln made Liz Cheney his Secretary of State? You know, well, and then he's like, he surrounded himself with people that would tell him no. Yes, Abraham Lincoln did that. But I remember watching interviews with Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris, and Liz Cheney wasn't exactly like, I'm going to challenge you on these things. Nobody challenged Kamala throughout her entire interview until she would...
No, she would just fire him.
Until she interviewed with Bret Baier, and Bret Baier challenged her, and then she left early.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, her whole inner circle was constantly changing because they hated her so bad. So anybody that would disagree with her or dislike her at all would just leave quickly. And the other random thing there is that if he's saying that he wants a president who hires people from the opposite party, I mean, that's literally what Trump has done.
Yes.
Tulsi Gabbard and RFK are historically, at least, Democrats. May have switched their allegiance very recently.
Tulsi Gabbard ran for president as a Democrat.
Yeah, and RFK ran as an independent and would have tried to be a Democrat if they would have let him. The way you introduced that clip was funny, though, because I thought when you said it that Jeff Daniels was there with Hunter Biden.
No, I wish.
I wish, too.
That would have made for a great interview. I got one more clip here, and this is Ron DeSantis talking about some of the complaints he's receiving from the inmates at Alligator Alcatraz.
So they're making these claims, and they're saying, oh, they're not fed well. Well, first of all, they're fed the same that the staff is fed. You know, you go to like and it's not a prison, it's a deportation processing center, so it is different. But like in Florida prisons, do you think the prisoners get the same meals as the guards? No, of course not. It's different. This is everyone's the same there, and they were mad that the ham sandwiches weren't toasted. Excuse me? I mean, give me a break. So DHS, you know, required there to be certain things. I know the legal was a part of that. There is recreation. People say there's not, and there is. People will show.
So the liberals really hate this Alligator Alcatraz, but if the complaint that you can come up with is they're not toasting the ham sandwiches, it tells me that what the Biden administration was doing with these illegal immigrants whenever they were putting them up in the five-star hotels and all that other stuff was treating them like kings. And now they're being treated like people who are here illegally and they're going home. And I just read that I think the first couple flights out of Alligator Alcatraz to deport these people back home have started taking off, I think either today or tomorrow, something like that.
As far as
I
understand it, too, when ICE detains somebody, they give them the option of deportation. So anybody who's going to Alligator Alcatraz or any other facility is choosing to not go back to their country, is choosing to go there, as far as I understand it. Also, when Jeff Daniels had diarrhea really bad, it's probably the most famous moment of his career. And he has had to combat that over and over and over. And it's funny because did you ever see the second Dumb and Dumber? Not the one where they were younger and it wasn't.
Yeah, I know which one you're
talking about. The second one that was made probably in 2014-ish.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people hated it, but the whole movie opens with you finding out what they've been doing in the last 20 years since the first one was made. And apparently, they just said that Jim Carrey's character, Lloyd? Or
Lloyd.
Harry. I can't remember which one is which. Was in a coma or like a catatonic state for the last 20 years. And he has a big, long beard, and he's got like a colostomy bag, and he's just sitting there like at a home. And Jeff Daniels has been visiting him every day for 20 years because of the issue that they had 20 years ago. I don't think they define how he got into that state. And then all of a sudden, Jim Carrey starts to speak, and you're like, ooh, like he's finally saying something after 20 years. And Jeff Daniels leans in, and Jim Carrey goes, gotcha. The whole thing, like the 20 years in a coma, was a prank. And That's the way the movie starts. And it's great. But I say that because apparently Jeff Daniels had just won an Emmy when they started filming that. And he wanted to be treated with dignity and respect so badly. And the whole staff and the whole crew knew it. So they had like a ceremony for him, and they all said, "Oh, it's amazing! You're such a great actor, and you're such a great actor that you're able to do comedy again." He was like, "Oh gosh, you guys, unbelievable! But thank you for the acknowledgement. I'll step back into this role now."
What a jerk!
I've never forgotten that, because when I saw that, I'm like, "That's who Jeff Daniels is. He craves respect so bad because he's known for the diarrhea scene."
What do I know? I'm just an actor.
All right, we'll be right back. Saw recently, and I still don't know if this is true, that Blur wrote that song as a parody of Smells Like Teen Spirit. They were joking, like, "Oh, if we just do this riff and then just yelled woohoo, it'd be a great song, because that riff is so good," that they were kind of joking, and that's what the song is.
And they ended up making a hit.
And apparently also the same guy from Blur, although it's not Blur, same singer, when he was in the Gorillaz, the famous song that he's got that's like...
I didn't know that.
Wait, you didn't know what?
I didn't know that the singer from Blur was in Gorillaz.
Yeah, it's the same guy. It's not the full band, but it's the same singer.
Right.
That the famous song that goes, "Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I'm happy, feeling glad." That song was just a preset
on a keyboard.
This. You've seen that
one. Yes, he's like, "Oh, here's this."
So Blur, the biggest songs that guy has made... were basically just jokes. And he plays it in the clip, so he can prove it. He's like, "Look, it's a little Casio keyboard." He hits the button. And it's just a preset. It's crazy.
It's wild.
But I'd never heard that about Song 2. That song.
I could hear it. I don't know if it's true, but it sounds like it could be.
Yeah, I saw somebody playing it and saying that was the origin of that song. Real quick, back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Is the Powell stuff interesting to you? It is to me. And part of it is because of mortgage interest rates and all that stuff. And I just don't know if that's like great radio or not. It's definitely newsworthy. It's the kind of stuff that, like, last week or the week before, might have been the end of last week, Trump and Republicans in Congress and Democrats in Congress all signed Bitcoin legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Genius Act, I think.
And that's the kind of thing that is a big deal, but what do you say? You go, it was passed. I mean, you could report on it.
Right.
But there's not really a lot of commentary, but it's the kind of thing that in 5 years you go, "Oh, that was a big deal," but nobody really remembers it because we didn't talk about it that much.
The reason that we don't talk about it too much is like, we still don't, I'm saying myself, but we as a people larger still don't quite understand cryptocurrency. You know, we don't understand what it is. I know that there's like a, what are they called? The central digital currency or whatever that people are afraid of.
Even that is above my pay grade.
So the idea of that is that they would do away with paper money. All currency would be digital, and that it would be one currency. So like Europe has the euro. The whole world would have this singular digital currency. The fear is that now you've got the world's money supply in one place, and it's in one place, one person can control it, or one entity can control it. And the scary thing is that if you don't toe the line, they can then cut you off. And we've kind of seen that, you know, in other areas with debanking and stuff like that, or social credit scores in China. You know, if you don't have the correct social credit score, you can't buy this item, and you can't like do it on the black market because there's no such thing as cash. Now, my opinion is that there will always be a market that cannot be controlled. When people need something and other people need something and they've been pushed to the outside, they will create their own economy and there will be a black market. That's why black markets exist. And they'll be able to go and circumvent this, but it will be at risk of personal harm, jail, stuff like that. So I like the idea of getting away from a central digital currency. I like convenience is not worth my freedom. Does that make sense?
Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to have a barcode on your head to buy anything.
Don't want it.
And,
or a microchip.
Let's just try to delay that as long as
whatever.
Possible. But yeah, that legislation was kind of a big deal, and I just didn't really know how to even approach it. I mean, I do understand crypto, I think, probably a little bit better than the average person, just because I read I read a whole book about the origin of crypto and Bitcoin. It is really interesting. It's just an interesting story. But that legislation is, I mean, here we are talking about it without actually talking about it. But it's one of the few areas where Congress will come together on something. And you know what the central point, anytime you see Democrats and Republicans come together on something, you know what's almost always at the center of it? China.
Yep.
It's still, the threat of China still brings the United States together in a way that other threats don't. Because the threat of Russia is definitely not bringing Congress together.
It's always like that.
The threat of Iran. People fight about this stuff like crazy.
Well, that's because Russia and Iran, while they pose a threat, they don't really pose the same kind of threat that a China would. And that's why we recognize that, A, we do like the United States. This is something that I think that even the leftists on our chat would agree. We like the United States. We think that we're a great country. We love this country. And we don't want to see somebody come over and take us over. We don't want to see ourselves knocked off the pedestal. I really don't think that there's a lot of people on the left that actually want that. There might be a fringe out there that think, oh, no, we need to be taken down a peg or two and then self-loathing or whatever. But whenever you're faced with a great threat, that's whenever whatever bickering you have gets put aside. Russia isn't going to do that to us. Iran isn't going to do that to us. China is the only real credible threat to the United States superpower status. They're the only one. So that's why you see people come together on that.
Is the Powell-Trump feud interesting? Yes. Is the country lowering interest rates important? Yes. Is it good radio? I don't know. Here's Trump talking about it with Powell, or on Powell.
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell if
it's something I haven't thought about? It's really something I'm allowed to do it, but it's something I have not thought about.
But you wouldn't rule it out, sir.
Now, for some reason, it's not playing the right clip. But
wrong clip.
Yeah. But he said in his meeting with Powell that they talked privately, and that Powell thinks the country is doing well. And Trump took that as, well, then he's going to start lowering interest rates soon, which would be the purpose of the meeting. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I wanted to get to on that topic that I thought, you know, again, is this like too deep? I don't know. But Scott Bessent, up until that meeting, which was yesterday, like all week and even last week, was doing the rounds on the Fed, which he's the Treasury Secretary. That's the kind of stuff he's supposed to talk about. And he's talking about the Japan deal now too a lot, which is also a big deal.
Yeah.
But what he was saying, Scott Bessent, about the Fed has really gone unnoticed. He said, here's the headline, we need to reconsider the entire institution of the Federal Reserve. That's big news.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up in this context is because that's the kind of news that if they were actually to do something, even if it's minor, even if it's not like abolishing the Fed entirely, but if they were to make some policy changes that affected it, it's the kind of news that doesn't get reported a lot, but that affects everything.
Yeah.
And the Bitcoin thing is that to me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of news that in a couple years, people are going to refer back to that Genius Act and go, oh man, that was a landmark move right there that changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of stuff is that stuff. I was reading not just the transcript of his interview here, which is pretty interesting. I mean, he says, what we need to do is examine the entire Federal Reserve institution and whether they have been successful. I'm speaking, actually. I'm going to be in the building this evening. There's a regulatory conference that begins tomorrow. I'm the keynote speaker tonight talking about regulation. The Fed, as well, deals with monetary policy, regulations, financial stability. And again, I think has the organization succeeded in its mission? You know, if this were the FAA and we were having this many mistakes, would we go back and look at it and say, why has this happened? I mean, look at if you said at the top of this broadcast there was fear-mongering over tariffs. And thus far, we've seen very little, if any, inflation. We've had great inflation numbers. So, you know, I think this idea of them not being able to break out of a certain mindset at the Fed, all these PhDs over there, I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. This is like universal basic income for academic economists.
Mm-hmm.
He is trashing the Fed.
Yeah.
And he was doing it all week. And he was going on any news program that would have him and trashing the Fed. At the end of one of his tweets that I read a lot about this because I find it interesting. At the end of one of his tweets, he said, is it possible, and I think it is, that the Treasury Department is capable of doing everything the Fed does. In other words, we are talking about internally moving, abolishing the entire Federal Reserve and moving it under the Treasury Department. That's big news.
That's big news.
It hasn't happened, but it's big that it's being discussed.
Yeah, the thing that worry, like, this is what I thought about with the Fed. The Fed exists, and it exists independently. There's a lot of discussion whether Trump can or can't fire Jerome Powell. But it's also a bureaucracy, which means if you can't fire them, they're also not accountable. So you've got what you saw the Democrats do in the last administration, where they twisted everything and bent it to their will and to their what they're trying to do. And if you move it to the Treasury, then they could do that with the monetary supply, with interest rates and all that other stuff.
I'm completely on the same page with this. It's just like gerrymandering, where you go, well, everybody knows this current system is not great. It's a mess. You can see in Illinois or any other state, really, most states, that they've used gerrymandering to benefit the people in power. We know that that's happening. Everybody knows it. And it's both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you replace it with? I don't know. The Federal Reserve is the same. You go, the Federal Reserve is a mess. Do I want the Federal Reserve? No. But what do you replace it with? Because if it was under the Treasury Department right now under Scott Bessent, I'd say, great. I think you guys probably will be
pretty
responsible.
They would do a great job.
But the minute you guys aren't in charge and people who don't know what they're doing financially are
in charge, Yellen,
then the thing becomes an absolute weapon where they can do anything they want and set up future administrations for failure if they really wanted to, which we know they would. So I'm not really sure what the solution is here. I just think that that deserved to be mentioned because it's pretty big news. Don't know if it'll go anywhere, but it is happening, and Scott Bessent is out there saying it as loud and robotic as he can. We'll take a short break and be right back and give you an update on sugar in Coke and what Pepsi is doing in response.
You know, essentially asking folks, what do you prefer the taste of, regular sugar or high fructose corn syrup? And it turns out that the American people say that they prefer regular sugar. Look at this. By a 2-to-1 margin, say Coke with sugar tastes better. Now, I must tell you that I think that this is a crock of baloney, because that includes folks who, A, have never even had Coke with sugar before, but it's also the fact that it was not a blind taste test, which I think is so important. Now, as someone who has, in fact, had many of Cokes with sugar, because kosher for Passover Coke cannot have corn syrup in it, I also have developed a little bit of an interest in this topic. So I decided, you know what, screw these studies. Let's actually conduct our own taste test, which I did with our AC360 staff earlier today. And we can show the results of that. But I also want you to partake in your own taste test right here. We have four different Cokes for you. We have a Coke that comes in a plastic bottle. We have a Coke that comes in a glass bottle. We have a Coke that comes in a can. And then we have Mexican Coke with sugar as well. And at the end of your test, Mr. Berman, you'll tell me how it is. But I will tell you that the folks on the AC360 team, which one did they prefer? They, in fact, preferred not Coke in with sugar. They actually preferred a glass with corn syrup, 4-3 over with sugar, canned corn syrup 3, and a plastic corn syrup 1.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I love you, Harry Enten. I like that he went straight to the data. That's what he does with CNN. And he created data this time. I appreciate that, the blind taste test, because I really agree. The idea of drinking soda with sugar in it is way better than the reality. I cannot tell the difference.
Really?
If I can tell a difference, it's so small that I'm not sure I would ever say, oh, this one's better than there might be a difference, but I couldn't tell you one's better than the other.
So here's my experience. I'd never had it before until we went on a mission trip to Mexico, and then I got a Coke in Mexico. It wasn't in my brain, it wasn't Mexican Coke. I didn't know
it was
that
just
there
Coke.
Was, it was a Coca-Cola bottle, and it was written in Spanish, you know, and it was in liters instead of ounces and that sort, milliliters and instead of ounces. But it was in a glass bottle. And I tasted it, and it was life-changing. I was like, this is way better than the Coke in the United States. I didn't know why. I didn't know that
it was... Is it possible that because you're in Mexico, you're on vacation, you're
no,
parched...
No, I was not on vacation.
You were on a mission trip.
Yes.
But you're parched. You're just...
No.
You're just wanting something to drink, and then, oh, this is the
no.
best Coke I've ever had because I'm in the heat.
Not at all. Because I was plenty hydrated. I wasn't thirsty. This was just on a break. We just sat down, and we had that, and it was great. And it's still great. I will still prefer that one because you can. Because when I got back to the United States, it's like, oh, they don't have Mexican Coke here. Well, they started carrying it at Home Depot, and you could get it there. And I was like, oh, great. And I would get it, and it would be great. It's just better. But I didn't know if it was the. I didn't know that. A. I didn't know it was made with high fructose corn syrup. The only thing that I knew differently was that it was in a glass bottle. Any soda in a glass bottle is superior to soda in any other form.
That's true. And that was my next question. Is it because it was in a glass bottle? It doesn't actually change the taste because, like, he's doing it in cups.
Right.
So he pours everything into cups so they're all equal, and nobody can really tell the difference. And that they say the experience of putting it to your lips, sometimes it's a little colder, sometimes it's a little bit different, the experience of drinking a Coke out of a glass bottle.
Well, even, like, the Coke out of a can and Coke out of a plastic bottle is different. Plastic bottle's better in a can.
Okay.
To me... The best Coke, you know, fountain
is the
best.
But do you think they taste different out of different containers?
I do.
A lot of people do.
I don't know what
but
it is.
But whenever they do a taste test, they say, no, nobody can tell.
Well, that's because, you know, you're then infecting it with whatever you put it in.
Oh, I see.
You know
I
what
see.
I'm saying? Because whatever container it's in, it's going to have an effect on it.
But I mean, it's instant. It's not as if you're letting it sit
Yeah,
there.
I don't know how much that matters. But anyway, so I would rank them Coke from Mexico... Glass bottle Coke, plastic Coke, can of Coke. And I would probably put fountain Coke ahead of plastic bottle.
I wish that they would start serving fountain soda with real sugar.
Yeah.
Because that's
that would
not
be
happening.
That would be your purest.
Yeah. The way the lead here is that Coke is, of course, going to be shifting yeah. to some regular sugar, cane sugar for some of their sodas. But it's basically just bottles.
So the conspiracy theory is, I don't know if you heard this or not, the original Coke recipe, which is in a vault in Atlanta, and you can go and see it at the World of Coke down in Atlanta, the original recipe called for pure cane sugar. Now, do you remember New Coke, where they changed the recipe because Pepsi was kicking their butt in blind taste tests mm-hmm. or whatever? The conspiracy theory is that whenever they did that, that's when they switched from pure cane sugar Coke over to high fructose corn syrup, and they wanted people to kind of have a break.
I have a buffer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they
okay.
knew it would taste different.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the conspiracy theory.
So Coke is still pretty dominant in the soft drink
oh, for sure.
world. Pepsi is losing market share like crazy.
Are they?
Yeah, over the last few years. And I brought this story up because I mean, really, it's just interesting. This is about a month old now, but it's starting to actually kick in. So it's not as if they're doing this in response to the news of Coke moving to cane sugar, but it's still news. Beloved Pepsi flavors are being pulled from shelves. And I don't know if it's because
oh, no.
they're not doing well or what, but if you see these out in the wild, you might want to grab them if you're a fan of them because they're going away. Pepsi Lime.
Haven't ever had that one. I don't know that I've even seen that one in the wild.
Pepsi Peach?
I would not even try that
I've tried it.
I would have tried the Lime one.
Peach is pretty good. Lime, I couldn't really tell much of a difference. It was okay. Nitro Pepsi?
I have tried that.
Is that infused with caffeine?
Instead of using carbon dioxide...
Oh, yes, I have had
they,
this.
They use nitrous, NO2.
Well, it says that it's a smooth, creamy texture thanks to nitrogen infusion.
Yeah.
Which is basically what you said.
It tastes weird.
It is weird, but it was an experience.
Because part of what makes Pepsi Pepsi is the bubbles and the way they carbonate it.
Yeah, it says it was aiming to reimagine soda with a draft beer-like experience. Draft soda. Nitro Pepsi. Mm. I remember when that came out, and I tried it, and I was like,
I don't drink regular soda. Let me try this,
okay.
though.
And then Nitro Pepsi Vanilla. is also going away, of course, because it's just a variation on that. Then Mountain Dew is also cutting all of it, like not all of it, but tons of its flavors.
Well, they have so, like 60 million.
They do have so many. Mountain Dew, these are going away. Mountain Dew Major Melon.
Nope.
Never had that one. Zero Sugar Major Melon. Mountain Dew Spark.
Is that the orange one? I think that's the orange one.
It says this came out in 2022 mainly. It was combined with citrus and bright raspberry lemonade.
Oh, no.
I don't know
no,
that I've had that. That's not the one. Mountain Dew Purple Thunder.
I've seen that one. Not interested.
Yeah, I have too. Mountain Dew Caffeine Free.
Why?
Why even exist?
Yeah, why bother?
Mountain Dew Whiteout. I think I've had this.
Yeah, I've had this as well.
Introduced in 2010 and originally chosen by fans in a public vote, Whiteout featured a smooth, citrusy flavor.
Yeah, kind of like Squirt.
With a milky white hue.
Yeah.
Is Squirt different than Mountain Dew?
Yes, yeah.
Because I like Squirt, but I don't drink Mountain Dew very much.
Squirt to me seems less sweet, and it's also a grapefruit flavor.
Yeah, yeah. Mountain Dew Kickstart Mango Lime. I mean, there's tons of these.
Kickstart is their energy drink.
Okay. Kickstart Original. These are going away.
Yeah.
And Mountain Dew Kickstart Blueberry Pomegranate.
Yes.
Have you ever had Dr. Pepper with regular sugar?
No.
So I watched a whole documentary on this, Brad. An entire movie was made on Dr. Pepper with sugar because there was one county in Texas where Dr. Pepper was still being produced with its original recipe, and they had it, and it's a cool movie because they would have festivals every
year. Oh, like, yeah.
The whole town, I wish you could remember the name of the town, was based on, we have the original Dr. Pepper. And people would make trips like it was Mecca, going to visit the original, and they'd have these festivals, and you could get it only there. But, well, they started selling it outside the county, and that's what caused problems because Dr. Pepper said, nah, that's not part of the contract. But their contract itself was written on a napkin. They had a napkin from like 100 years ago that the owner of Dr. Pepper at the time just scribbled out like, yeah, you can start. Here's the.
It's not Waco, is it?
It was around Waco.
Waco is where it was invented.
It was around there. But they scribbled on a napkin, here's the county in which you can make Dr. Pepper in this way. And that napkin was the source of their entire legal basis for being able to make it. And this whole town, like the economy of the town was based on that. And then Dr. Pepper, because it was unclear whether they could make it there, but could they sell it outside of there? And it was unclear.
Okay.
So they started selling it and become, in the last 10 years, it became super popular to get the original Dr. Pepper from that one distributor in that one county in Texas. Well, then Dr. Pepper National caught wind of it, of course, and they started figuring out, is it real? We know that they legally can make it. That's been established. But can they sell it outside the county? Because it was becoming a pretty big problem for Dr. Pepper. And so I think they sued them and they won. And they shut down the whole thing. So it's not even that it exists anymore. And people were mad. So that's why the movie was made. It was really cool, but interesting stuff. If you're a soda fan like I am, although, man, I've been drinking nothing but zero sugar lately. And it is just not fun.
Ryan hasn't been the same around the office.
Oh, my gosh.
Moping around.
I told these guys before we started the show today, that I found a box of these like Fiber One brand brownies, and they're just a little square. They're not very big, but each one of them has zero sugar. And I think by the end of the day, I will have eaten the whole box because it's like, oh, it's a loophole. It's sweet, but it's not really sugar. And I'm just craving it. It's like, it's not going away. I thought by now I'm in 4 weeks of no added sugar and the craving would start to die. It's not. I still want it just as bad. And so I did an entire segment on soda like an idiot. We'll be right back with more, and we'll find out in the next segment whether Ethan is going to be hosting the 2 o'clock hour. Songs I hated as a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Ethan, are you a big fan of Saturday Night Live?
No, I could care less about
Saturday
Night Live.
Did you ever watch it as a show, or just was it always a clip show?
Not ever in my life have I watched Saturday Night Live.
I feel like Saturday Night Live for Ethan's entire life that he's been old enough to watch it has been garbage.
Correct. Now, there are clips that I've seen, even some from that are modern-ish or, you know, within the last several years that I laugh at and think are funny. But most of them, yes, coming from when I would have been a lot younger. Or, of course, like, you know, the old days,
when you guys
were young.
Is it always new clips? Like, oh, this week's, and then there was one random sketch that really hit. Or do you ever see old stuff that you're like, oh, that's pretty funny?
No, I'll see stuff that's older that I'm like, oh, that's funny. But it's not like I'm also... Saturday Night Live, for my generation, has never really been this thing that...
It's not like a cultural driver.
No. Nowhere
close.
Yeah,
I didn't get that sense. It's like legacy media,
mm-hmm.
in that it still has sway because of its name and its history.
It's just standing on its history.
But they just did their 50th anniversary earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
and it was a big deal. Like, everybody who's anybody was there.
I did watch that one.
That's funny. That's the one I didn't watch. And I still,
I watched the clip when I say I watched it.
You didn't watch it.
No.
But I think it was in prime time. But I was driving home yesterday after our show and after we watched Jerome Powell stand there next to Trump, and it was funny. I was driving home thinking, oh, yeah, I got to host tomorrow. And I was just, I don't know.
I need something.
What am I going to do? But I started, this is so stupid. I'm driving home and I don't know what it is. There's lots and lots of homeless people out right now. I don't know if it's because it's the summer or what, but there was a sketch where Tracy Morgan plays a homeless guy on Saturday Night Live, and and he sings a song in it that goes, "Make a doo-doo pie, I love you," and I sing that all the time. For no reason, out of nowhere.
Of course you do.
because I'll just sing it, eat a doo-doo pie, or whatever it is. And I was thinking, man, I need to go actually see that sketch, because it's pretty old now. And I remember that the pitch of the sketch had to be something like, okay, Britney Spears is hosting. Let's have Britney Spears climb down in a sewer and fall in love with a homeless guy. And so I've pulled up the sketch. I found it. This isn't the whole thing, but it's about 2 minutes of it. And I'm just going to play it. And yes, the audio is one thing, but you can see it if you want to tune in on our YouTube channel.
Well, this is it. This is where I live.
Oh, it's not so bad. I like the mailbox.
Oh, I stole that because it has secrets about me.
You know what? Sometimes I'd like to steal a mailbox.
Oh, you're just saying that.
I know.
Say, Brittany, I was wondering.
What?
Well, you're always singing for everybody else. And, well, I wrote this song and I thought...
Oh, that's so sweet. Yes, please, I'd love to hear
it. Is that a phone book? Yeah,
I got it right here.
It's a phone book. You wrote this song in a phone book.
It's no oops, I did it again, but...
Just sing it.
Little TV sets going off inside my ear. Spacemen floating by. Firecracker beer. Chase the demons lightly inside your eye. Up and down the sidewalk, take a doo-doo pie.
Oh my gosh, that was so beautiful.
You mean it?
I do. It was really nice.
I kind of wrote it at a real crazy time in my life. You really like it?
I love it.
I love you.
They're about to kiss.
Brittany Spears, are you down there in the store?
It's my manager.
We're coming to get you.
You better go.
I can't. I'm going to stay with you. Down here in the sewer.
No. The world up there needs you. You go.
I'll see you, Woodrow.
His name's Woodrow.
So long, Brittany. Chase the demons lightly. News it hits your eye. Up and down the sidewalk. take a doo-doo pie. I love you.
Just the pitch. The pitch that that sketch had to be is Tracy Morgan walking into a room and going, okay, the biggest pop star, arguably the biggest star in the world, is going to be on the show. How about if she comes down into the sewer and falls in love with a homeless guy who serenades her?
It's kind of predictive, isn't it?
It's great. It's so good.
If that reminds me of anything, it is how good looking she was.
She was beautiful.
She was gorgeous. And yeah, now she is just oh my gosh. It's sad when you look at how much she's fallen off.
That was 2000.
That was 2000?
Free Britney was a mistake.
Sheesh.
And I forgot to even really set up why I was doing it. So, like, if you listen to my show on the weekends, for about a year ago, I decided, okay, there's so many great sketches that we've all forgotten about. And they just exist out there. And some of them are hard to find if you even remember it, let alone, you know, you're just watching a show, you don't remember it. So I decided to go through all, I'm like, my journey is going to be, I'm going to start watching all the episodes of Saturday Night Live, starting from when the original cast left. So like Belushi and Chevy Chase and, mm-hmm. and all those guys, they were the first generation, they leave. Then I'm going to start watching it from then on. Well, if you watch it on Peacock, it's like two sketches in an episode and then it's over. And I guess it's because they didn't get the rights to everything. Oh. So they're all there, but there's nothing there.
They're there, but there's no there there.
So I've tried watching them to try to find like some really funny stuff. And it was pretty messy back in the day. Like in those Dick Ebersol years mm-hmm. when Lorne Michaels was not in charge of the show was a weird format. It was a mess. So unfortunately, I didn't get to really go through it because I don't know that this stuff really exists anywhere other than in individual clips on the internet. I wish they'd put them all out on DVD. I'd go through the whole thing. All right, 2 o'clock hour coming up, and we'll find out whether Ethan is hosting next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.